Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have you join us for another one of these Business of Digital podcast episodes. As always, thank you very much for listening to us and taking the time out of your day. So I believe we have Dave in the house. How's it going?
Dave is in the house.
And I'm a little bit nervous to start this one because, you know, when you're told you're going to be thrown under the bus a little bit.
I phrase it that way, didn't I? I literally just phrased it that way.
But this is going to be an interesting one. We're going to talk about what digital shelf space is and how it can help your SEO. So
why it matters and why you should care and
all that stuff. So feel free, Dave, put me on the spot.
So we did not talk a lot about what this is. Mm-mm. And so I'm putting you on the spot. I'm not throwing you under the bus. Okay. Putting you on the spot.
That's better way.
It just seems gentler. When you hear me say we're going to talk about digital shelf space, what the heck do you think that is? Because I'm curious. I hear some people say it, and I hear other people say it, talk about it, but
I almost think of it as two different things, because I have to admit I haven't heard, until you said you wanted to talk about it, I haven't really heard people talking about digital shelf space. I have two thoughts of it. Is one of them would be, is this kind of like marketing channels, or is this kind of like your data in the cloud space? I don't know.
Well, so think about old school way of shelf space is if you were to walk down the aisle for cereal at a grocery store, or certain meats or chips, you can pay to play to get in there.
Okay.
So you get shelf space.
I'm following.
So you have shelf space, and there's premium at certain levels, and there's better ones. So, you know, if you're targeting kids with cereal, you want the lower ones because that's where the kids see all the toys and everything. If you're going for the adults and the parents and stuff, you want the healthier ones up top where they'll see it within their eyes.
Or if you're a candy bar, you want the checkout aisle.
Right. Yeah.
I gotcha.
So that's the shelf space. So the digital version of that, and maybe there's other versions or how people think of it, is the SERP.
Okay.
So if you are, think about your brand. So if someone does a search,
where you're positioned.
Correct. And just owning as much as possible.
I like it.
So I've had the idea for a little while.
Did you coined this term, or
I don't think I did.
Oh, okay.
No.
I couldn't remember. I've heard it before. What you said. Okay, gotcha.
No, I do not think I did that. That would be cool, but I highly, highly, highly doubt that.
You just use it.
I just use it a lot.
Gotcha.
But they actually talked about it in a recent video that Aleda did with, who was in it? It was one of her Crawling Mondays, and we'll have a link, and I can embed the video. With Matt Howells, Barbie from HubSpot, and Jackie Chu, who is, I think she was at Uber when she recorded this, or she just moved to Uber. Mm. And they were just talking about SEO for SaaS, software as a service. And they talked about it, and I was like, oh, and something sparked in my head that we should actually do an episode about it. But also, if you were into SaaS, or if you want to hear about different how people do SEO differently for, you know, software that really doesn't have a lot of services to talk about, it's 18 minutes. It's a great listen, great interview discussion. But for me, like if you do a search, and I'm going to type. So I just did a search for Business of Digital podcast. Okay. Website's number one. We've got site links. Our Stitcher is number two, Stitcher's number three, podcasts on Apple number four, Spotify, iHeart, Podtail, and our Instagram. We own 100% of that shelf space.
Good for us.
Good for us. I should hope so. You know, if I do a search for my name, Dave Rohr, there are some people that probably do not like me, also with a very similar name. Although, like, oh, right now I'm not number one. Normally I'm like, I own like almost the entire page one. There's a deputy and a pastor who seem to be having now listings above me, but then everything else is me. Like, well, literally all other eight listings on my name are me. So yeah. I own 80% of the shelf space.
So you got me thinking when we were doing this, because I went to the restaurant that I've been helping out lately, the one that my son works at, and you got me thinking about this. And so, like, I typed it in, and all the results that come back, I start to think about, like, that shelf space and what we've been telling people forever, why you need to be doing certain things. Like, for example, they set up their Google My Business account, and so they show up and they have a big old section on the right hand side of the SERP. Now, if you don't go and set that up, or if you don't go do that, or if you leave that to someone else to set it up or try to add your business for you, they may add it with wrong information. They may do it incorrectly. And so making sure that you have that, so you have that shelf space. I also look at things like Yelp, for example. You're adding that shelf space to your SERP. You're adding, again, like, I'm guessing that these are the things that you're talking about.
Correct. Yep. Okay. And we all want our site to be number one, but for certain terms, if you can just have, you know, if there's three paid listings and you have one of them, and then there's one local listing and you have one of them, and then there's, you know, a couple other ones, or, you know, people also ask and you can be one of those five. Each time in each little group, depending on where people are going and what they're clicking, if they're clicking on images, or if there's video, or there's, you know, the local listings, or just organic, you know, 10 links, which we rarely see now. If you can take up as much of those and be on those pages, and even if it's a Yelp, so even if it was, you know, Mexican restaurant in Chicago, and you're on that front page of Yelp, I still consider that a win.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because someone clicks on Yelp, you're still there. So I still count that as a win, but you have to be on that page one of, you know, TripAdvisor or Yelp or, yep, you know, Angie's List or whatever it is. I just count that as a one. So it's like, when you look at shelf space, whatever the search is. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I look at it from, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because, like, for TripAdvisor, for example, happens to be the really big one for, like, a lot of the tourism industry. I mean, for good reason, but, like, the Alaska Lodge that I talk about that I frequent every year, they got on, they have people that book them simply because of the reviews and things that they have found on TripAdvisor. And so if they didn't take the time to upload images to get people to use that, or if people, you know, if they didn't make sure that all the information was correct or that they monitored it, that could probably hurt them as opposed to how it helps them. But that's their digital shelf space that is helping them in this case, and to your point.
Well, and there's, and I know some people don't like them, but there's certain sites that list, like, agencies, SEO agencies. Some of them are pay to play, some of them aren't. But if someone's looking for SEO agency in Chicago, and I can show up on, you know, UpCity, G2, Trust Radius, review sites and stuff, but also show up in organically, no matter where you go, I'm still making sure that my brand, my company, you know, my employer has we're still in the game. We're still an option to be selected.
Well, yeah. And I don't know if it's so much of a thing anymore, but, like, Angie's List, for example, I know several people many years ago that built their businesses because of Angie's List and the pay to play part of it. And again, I don't know. I haven't done a lot with Angie's List lately, so I can't speak to its effectiveness now or whatever, but I know that several years ago. But again, that's just one example of taking advantage of that shelf space when you can.
And it's such a pain, because as I look, there's, for software, or, you know, especially if you're in the B2B space and you want to get listed on Capterra, Trust Radius, G2, there's GetApp, and there's probably like four more that I'm forgetting, that, again, each of them is their own little micro search engine where you have to try to make sure that you're ranking. But for certain terms, Google likes to put those kinds of Yelps and, you know, aggregated sites, because it's so high up in the funnel or so early in the funnel, no, you don't know what you're searching for. And Google's figured out that you really don't know what you want. And to provide you with just one company, you skip it because you're like, well, yeah, I've seen that name before, but I want to see who the other ones are too. And well, so for self space, even if you're not, your site's not ranking, I still consider that as a win if you can be listed.
Well, let's even take doing a Google search of business of digital one step further and talking about how owning that digital shelf space on, I mean, we could honestly have just, you could have just stopped at putting us on iTunes or whatever and decided, hey, that's good enough. But no, you know, take up that shelf space on Spotify, take up that shelf space on Google Play, YouTube, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Player FM, any of these that you have us here on. And that's more to, again, just, and again, I almost like to think of it as the old school way that I used to do reputation management, like just own everything. It doesn't matter if, you know, you're never going to use this one profile or whatever, you own that space, because you never know if you're going to make someone mad. I find it interesting. I'm seeing all kinds of commercials lately for like reputation management, and companies that I know are not going to do a dang thing for you because I know how tough reputation management is. But it's just interesting that I'm seeing that kind of stuff. But that's what this kind of gets me thinking of. It gets me thinking of that old school, you own this stuff now, you control it now, you create the narrative, and then someone's not going to come over and dominate your name or your business or whatever. Like, you've controlled that space. So it's smart for online reputation management purposes as well, Dave. Just my
helps,
thoughts.
Well, yeah, helps if I unmute. Well, everyone talks about rankings and stuff like that, and this one is a bit more difficult to quantify. Like, you just can't throw keywords into, you know, whatever tool you prefer to use and then have it spit out and go, oh, look, we're number three or something.
Yeah.
You actually have to pay attention and do that, check the rankings and check the SERPs, but then look at the sites that are ranking and go, okay, do we have a presence there? How are we doing on that site? Because everyone shops and researches differently. And they're not just going to search for whatever your service is in Google or whatever your service is in Bing and be done. They're going to probably browse and review and compare and, you know, spend months and weeks or maybe just hours and, you know, minutes. But the more places you're on and the more chances you have and more of that shelf space that you have a presence on, the more opportunities, the more awareness you have. And it's partly, for me, it's part, you know, brand awareness. It's part conversion. It's also part kind of reputation management. Because if you have all of those strong presences everywhere, and if someone does a search for your name and say you do have a person that works at that company that does something stupid, or you're in the news for something that you probably don't want to be in the news for, you do have a better chance to kind of control that narrative and control that what that SERP looks like when you already have 5, 10, 15 different profiles, strong ranking for whatever it is, at least for your brand.
Right. And I have one of those last names that's unique. There's not, you know, it's not a John Smith. And I found it ironic a few years ago. There was a Matt Siltala that lived in Minnesota. It was a police officer that mowed an elderly person's lawn. And for whatever reason, it just blew up and people were, there was a news story written about it. And like forever, I had no problems like owning the SERP. But then that news story, because it shared a gazillion times by everyone, started creeping up and I finally got it for the most part out again. But, it's just interesting how, like, you never know, stuff like that can happen. Or
luckily, it was a good thing.
Luckily, it was a good thing. But it wasn't me. It wasn't my brand. And anyway, it's interesting. It's just a thought that I had that while we're talking about all this and, like, you know, what could I have done to avoid that? Well, there's nothing really that you could have done to avoid that. But you just have to do your best to take control of those, like you were saying.
Also, when I start typing in your name, Google suggest is Officer Matt Siltala.
Oh, yeah. See, that's funny. Let me do that. I've never seen that one.
He also gets one whole picture when I actually search for your name.
That's funny.
Poor guy. He's really screwed too.
He's probably the one that's like, who's this stupid Matt Siltalan? Why did he take my fame?
Who's this guy? Make him go away. That's funny. I mean, you've basically done reputation management. Same thing.
I also find it's interesting that my name LinkedIn is number one for me.
Because everyone points there.
I guess.
But and we're talking about very specific brand. It also works for, you know, the non-brand and for your category or certain keywords that there's going to be certain keywords for every industry and every company that Google just wants to show these third-party aggregators. So you have to pay attention and be on them. And, you know, everyone's always like, oh, well, that doesn't count. No, it does. But it only counts is if you click on it and you have a chance and you're showing up there.
Yeah.
So that's partly why we, you know, at the end of every episode, we bug people to, hey, you know, if you're listening on whatever you're on,
rate us. To bug you too much, guys.
Yeah, we tried to do it only at once, and Matt flips a coin basically and just picks a different one each time. But for us, that is our way of trying to, you know, do better in the shelf space, because you might just search for podcasts in Spotify or in iTunes or in Google Play. So we have to play in Google, but we're also playing in every other, you know, area that we can where you could possibly be finding podcasts. So we're trying to make sure we have as much shelf space and as much awareness for this brand everywhere.
Yeah. I like it. Just some final thoughts that I have on it is I can't believe I hadn't really heard of it before, but it makes perfect sense. And I like, you know, that I almost kind of want to do an infographic out of it, Dave. I mean, surprise, surprise. But I think it would make a fun visual. But just my final thoughts on it are, you know, again, whether you're that restaurant, whether you're that local business, whether you're that, you know, big agent, whatever it might be, like, you want to make sure that you go out and claim all that digital space. And again, if you're wanting some research, all you got to do is just do a few searches. Just go and see what's out there. Do a few searches of competitors. Do a few searches of whatever it is in the industry that you're in. And you're going to be able to see, like, a lot of the different places that are out there. Okay, it's very easy if you're a restaurant. You could, you know, type in any popular restaurant. You're going to see all the different places that they're listed and that they're talked about and things like that. And so it's very easy for you to do this kind of research and help you understand, you know, how to take control of your digital shelf space. And so I appreciate you bringing this to the forefront, Dave, and talking about it. And it definitely can help your SEO, help the SERPs and all that good stuff. And so I would recommend everyone going out there and type it in their business name or their brand name or the community, whatever it is that they're working on, and see where you guys shape, you know, where you are positioned and where your digital shelf space is. Say that 10 times fast, digital shelf space.
But,
No. Okay.
Not going to try.
Yeah, all right, final thoughts, Dave?
Start with your reputation management. Think of your digital shelf space for which stories, you know, maybe you're in the news and you've had write-ups before. How can you get those write-ups there, the good ones? If there's been people that had bad service or bad interactions with you, see what you can do to own the digital shelf space just for your brand and make it positive. Then move on to what does that digital shelf space look like for category terms, very specific services or products that you sell. Where are you strong? Where are you weak? And what can you do, and what sites do you need to work on, third-party sites, you know, to make sure that you have awareness there, so that when someone does go to that aggregator like a Yelp or TripAdvisor or TrustRadius or G2 or any other ones, really, what can you do or what are you doing to be there? What are you doing to improve your awareness there, so that when people are using them, you again have that opportunity to win business?
Very, very good. Awesome, guys. So hopefully you got something from this. And I am going to throw that little plug in there, you guys. If you know, go and give us that 5-star rating on Google Play. We love it. And we appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to us. For Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltala with Avalanche Media, and thank you guys for joining us. Bye, all.
Bye.